Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to yet another episode of the Philly Bandwagon Podcast. Ryan Michaels here with your boy, Chip Tiernan.
What it do?
Sixers are down to nothing. They, you know, they did complain about the referees who were bad. I will say that, but they played terribly as well.
Yeah, so, not a good mix. Not a good mix.
You know, look, it's one thing if you're playing incredibly well and just keep getting shafted by the refs. And it's another thing when you're playing like dog do.
Yeah.
And then you blame solely the refs for it. And it's like, you know, there is a such thing as a, you know, an accumulation of events that cause a loss. And yeah, that combo right there is it.
Yeah, that'll do you in for sure. I mean, again, like, you know, like you said, complaining about the refs is one thing, and they were really, really bad.
Yes, agree.
But you're putting yourself in that situation in the first place. So
correct.
You know, you can't just blame the refs. You know, it's all in the players and, you know, everyone else too. So it's a really crappy situation to be in, and you know, the Sixers had that game, and they blew it.
And you know what? I'm going to get further into this in the bulk of the podcast because I just have something to say about it. And yeah. I don't know if everyone shares the same sentiment, but I am feeling a certain way.
Okay.
It's mostly with the Sixers. It's just nothing good ever happens. We'll get into it. We'll get into it.
Yeah.
The Phillies, they suck. They're the worst.
Worst. Terrible team.
Horrible. Absolutely horrible.
Everyone needs to get fired.
Yeah, they're totally not 15-8. And they're not doing well at all. And their pitching is horrendous.
Yeah. Starting pitching especially
has been just horrible. Ranger Suarez has been horrific to watch. Yeah. Just totally. He should never be on any Cy Young lists ever if this continues. Yep.
Honestly,
you might as well just DFA him right now.
Yeah.
And people who listen to us for a while know exactly what's happening here, so we have to just keep that the status quo.
Yeah. Now, in fairness, they are losing 5-1 currently, but hey,
you know, we already said it. They suck.
They suck.
There's no way they could ever come back from that deficit because they're just going to be chasing at sliders 20 feet out the zone.
Nick.
Sorry.
Anyway.
Sorry. What was that?
Nothing.
Oh, yeah. All right. Anyway. Eagles. Chippy got his mock draft 2.0.
Yeah, we are mere days away from arguably one of my favorite days of the year. And I got my final mock here. So buckle up.
All right. Well, with that.
And the Flyers stink, so.
Oh, yeah, they got eliminated. Yeah, I think we said that.
We talked about that last week, but yeah, whatever. I just had to throw it in there.
Yeah, there's a difference between what we did with the Phillies and what we're saying that happened.
Yeah, that was real. That was real.
Yeah, that was real. With that, I have nothing left. What'd you say, Chippy?
Let's cue the Rocky music.
You're listening to a Philly Sports Nation production, enhancing your Philly sports experience.
Let's get in the huddle and talk some birds, baby.
Go birds.
Go birds. Now, considering this is a full first round mock draft, it's going to take a long time. So,
yes.
Just letting you know, Chippy's going to be doing a lot of talking here because this is his show and his rodeo and his favorite time of year. So I try not to interrupt unless he says something absolutely egregious.
Which could happen.
I hope not, but go ahead.
I will try to speed it up a little bit because a lot of these picks are the same as last week. I did make some changes, made a few trades as well. So let's great. Start it off. A couple trades, only two.
Great.
Only two. Yeah, only two. I usually don't do trades, but hey, you know, It's my final mock, so, and it's, you know, draft is in 2 days. So let's get it done.
Do it.
Number one, same as last week. It's pretty simple. Bears going Caleb Williams, quarterback out of USC. Who would have thought? I mean, it's already totally not set in stone already. Number two, Commanders. I switched it up from last week. I had them going Jaden Daniels. In my opinion, I think they go Drake May. I think they should go Drake May. I think Drake May is a lot closer to Caleb Williams, if not, you know, maybe a little better. But, I think the Commanders should go Drake May. There's a lot of, a lot of talk that they'll go Jaden Daniels. I think they should go Drake May. So I have them going Drake May in this final mock. Number three, Patriots have, so they didn't go Jaden Daniels. So I have him going here at number three to the Patriots. Again, pretty self-explanatory. They obviously need a quarterback. And, number four, first trade. Vikings, moving on up. They trade with the Cardinals. And they move up to take their hopeful quarterback of the future in J.J. McCarthy.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a hot one.
It's a hot one, man. It is a hot one. Yeah, I think, about a month ago, they made a trade with the Texans to get number 23. They have 11 already. I think you have enough ammunition to potentially move up and get your, again, potential quarterback of the future in J.J. McCarthy. He's an interesting prospect. Coming from an interesting type offense at Michigan. Wasn't asked to throw the ball a lot at Michigan, but when he did, he was actually, good. Still a young player. So
one through four one more time for me. You said it was Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and J.J. McCarthy. Four straight quarterbacks.
That's a really hot take.
It's a hot take. And, the NFL draft is crazy. I think a team, if they need a quarterback enough, like the Vikings do, in that situation where they have Justin Jefferson who needs a quarterback, I think they try and get that deal done with the Cardinals.
Andy Dalton, though.
Yeah, no. No. that's not it. But, so that's my first big shakeup. Again, might not happen, but there will be trades. Like, I only have two in this mock, but there will be – I'm assuming there's going to be more, but who knows?
Wait, do they even have Andy Dalton or is it Sam Darnold?
It is Andy. No, it's Sam Darnold, yes.
Dude, they're like pretty much
identical. They're the same. Yeah, they're the same. Yeah. Anyway, all right, moving on. Moving on. Chargers, number five. That leaves them to take Marvin Harrison Jr., receiver at Ohio State. Pretty easy one there. Lost Keenan Allen, lost Mike Williams. Got to give Justin Herbert more weapons there, and they get the best receiver in this draft. Number six, Giants. They go Malik Nabers, receiver out of LSU. Again, same kind of deal. They're sticking with Daniel Jones here. Paid him all that money a couple years ago. If Vikings don't trade up for J.J. McCarthy, this could be a sneaky quarterback spot. But in this scenario, they take a really, really, really good receiver prospect in Malik Nabers to help out Daniel Jones. Number seven, Titans. I think this is the same thing as last week. I have them going Joe Alt. Again, pretty self-explanatory there. They really need tackle, and he is the best one, in my opinion, in this draft. Number eight, I think this is the same one as well. Dallas Turner for the Falcons, edge out of Alabama. Again, Raheem Morris coming over from the Rams, I believe. Defensive-minded coach. I think Dallas Turner is arguably the best edge in this class. Not my number one edge, but definitely up there for sure. Young player, really good, and they need some help on that defense. Number nine, I have the Bears going Romo Dunze, receiver out of Washington. It came out today that, Caleb Williams and Romo Dunze have been maybe chatting it up a little bit. Caleb Williams sent out a tweet and he said he saw Romo Dunze and there was like a picture of them together. So You know, you could be seeing that chemistry already building. I think if you're the Bears at 9, I think Romo Odunze is, you know, obviously a stud. And, you know, I know you have Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, but, you know, you're only going to have these guys. You're only going to have Keenan Allen probably for maybe one or two more years, and then Romo Odunze can step in right away. So, and again, they're already building chemistry, so I think that's a no-brainer pick for them. Number 10, Jets. I had them going Brock Bowers. I think this was the same as well. Brock Bowers is arguably a top five player in this draft. The top three receivers are already off the board. So, you know, you get a weapon for Aaron Rodgers in the form of a tight end, which they don't really have. I mean, Tyler Conklin had a decent year last year, but not really in tight end one, the way Brock Bowers definitely is. So, yeah, crazy athlete, too. And just, I think it would be a really nice fit in that Jets offense. Number 11, the Cardinals, after trading down from 4, go Jared Verse, edge out of Florida State. You know, I've seen a lot of people say that Jared Verse is their number one edge in this class. And, you know, the Cardinals moving down. I mean, the Cardinals team in general just needs a lot of help. So I think moving down and getting arguably the best edge in this class is definitely a win for the Cardinals. And again, they're going to get a lot of picks back from the Vikings for trading down too. So, yeah, you know, really, really good player. Again, really good athlete, and could help that defense a ton. Broncos at 12. I think this was the same one. Byron Murphy, defensive tackle out of Texas. Again, kind of self-explanatory here. They need a lot. They need a quarterback. They just traded for Zach Wilson, which is interesting.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming.
No, did not.
I thought they would be a player to trade up.
Definitely. So that still could be an option for them. You know, I definitely could see them trading up with the Cardinals as well. But I think the Vikings would be a little bit more enticing again because there's two first round picks, and then it would probably be another first round pick on top of that. So, yeah, the Broncos stick and pick here. Maybe they'll rock out with Zach Wilson as their quarterback one going into this year. Who knows? But they need help on that defense. They've been signing a ton of Texas guys. I think I said that last week as well. And Byron Murphy's a Texas guy, so that he fits right in. Number 13, the Raiders. I have them going Olu Fashanu, tackle out of Penn State. Fashanu is a really good player, Penn State. So I know of him a little bit more. You know, I watch a lot of Penn State games. Really good. I think he was better in 2022. I think he took a bit of a step back in 2023, but still, it was really good. And I think is the tackle two in this class, in my opinion. Is a left tackle. They need more of a right tackle. I think he can easily move over there and play right tackle for them. So that's a good fit for the Raiders. Number 14, Eagles. Spoiler alert, I have them trading up.
Who would have ever thought?
Who would have guessed? Yeah, no, I mean, this is writing on the wall. I mean, I don't know if it's going to happen in real life. I mean, there's been chatters about Howie Roseman potentially moving up. So I had it in this mock draft. You know, I mean, I had to do it, you know. So I have the Eagles trading up with the Saints and taking cornerback Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. Mitchell, in my opinion, is cornerback one, CB1, freak athlete, you know, has in my opinion, the highest potential out of any of the corners, maybe Nate Wiggins, but, you know, he was phenomenal in college. He was phenomenal at the Senior Bowl, which is a good thing to see, you know, coming from a school like Toledo. And again, I think he's CB1. And I think if the Eagles move up and they should take, if he's there, I think you got to take him. Has CB1 potential when, you know, Darius Slay is gone. Obviously, comes in right away and replaces James Bradbury because he's a bum. So, yeah, that's what I have doing here. And those are the trades. And the rest stay the same. Next up, 15, Colts. Do Brian Thomas Jr., receiver at LSU. I think they would be absolutely pissed if the Eagles traded up because I think they would take Quinyon Mitchell if he was there. But he's not there. So they go with another absolute freak of an athlete, you know, right up Chris Ballard's GM of the Colts' alley. And I think, you know, pairing Brian Thomas Jr. with Michael Pittman and Josh Downs would be a really fun combination for Anthony Richardson going forward. So, I think they would be, again, I think they'd be pretty mad that Quinnen Mitchell went right before them, but I think Brian Thomas Jr. is a nice consolation prize. 16 to the Seahawks. I think the same as last week. I have them going Troy Fa'atanu, O lineman out of Washington. I think again, played tackle at Washington, but in this case, if he goes to the Seahawks, would probably slide into guard. And I think he would be a really, really good guard. They really need offensive line help. They lost Damian Lewis in free agency. I think it's a nice fit. Jaguar 17. I have them going Terrion Arnold, corner out of Alabama. Pretty easy pick here. They need cornerback help. Could be a sneaky receiver pick here, but they signed Gabe Davis for free agency. They still have Christian Kirk. They still have Zay Jones as well. I think they need more help in that secondary, specifically a corner to pair with the kid out of Tyson Campbell. That's the other guy they have. Number 18, the Bengals. I have them going J.C. Latham, tackle out of Alabama. I think this was the pick last week as well. Yes, it was. Again, pretty self-explanatory here. They need a right tackle. J.C. Latham is a right tackle. Absolute freak of an athlete. Probably the strongest player in this year's draft class. And again, was really good at Alabama. And, Bengals need a right tackle. Number 19, the Rams. I have them going Liatu Latu, edge out of UCLA. Had this pick last week as well. Honestly, Liatu Latu could go a lot higher than this. The only reason I have him down here at 19 is because of the injuries. In my opinion, he's my edge one in this class, above Dallas Turner and above Jared Verse. I think he is the most polished of anyone in this class at edge. Again, the only reason I have him down here is because of the injury stuff. He had to medically retire from the game of football, transferred to UCLA. They let him play. And from all the medical stuff that we've seen at the combine and that we've heard at the UCLA Pro Day, everything looks fine for Latu. So honestly, he could go a lot higher than this. I would not be surprised. He could be a top 10 pick in my opinion. But in this one, I have him going in 19 because I think, the injury stuff will scare some teams off. Number 20, Steelers going Amarius Mims, tackle out of Georgia. Again, same pick from last week here. Again, a lot of the same picks. I'm just going to, if they're the same, they're the same, whatever. They need a right tackle. Amarius Mims arguably is the best athlete at tackle in this year's draft. And they already have Broderick Jones, who they took last year from Georgia. So they have bookend tackles from Georgia moving forward. And I think that's a pretty cool storyline, getting those teammates back together. Number 21, Dolphins. I have been going Jerzon Johnny Newton, defensive tackle at Illinois. Again, they lose Christian Wilkins in free agency. It's a really big loss for them. Jerzon Newton, not the same type of player, but, offers you a really good pass rusher at the interior. Still developing as a run defender. Again, not the biggest guy either, but offers you a ton of pass rush on the interior. Number 22, after trading down with the Eagles, the Saints take Talisa Fuanga, or Fuaga. I don't know how it's pronounced. I think it's one of those two, but tackle out of Oregon State. I think for the Saints, you trade back and still get a really good tackle. Could move into guard as well, but I think in this scenario, you move him at right tackle and then move Ryan Ramczyk over to left because you really do need a tackle if you're the Saints. Cardinals, 23. This was, again, after trading down. So this would be the Vikings pick, but they traded down. So the Cardinals take Nate Wiggins, corner out of Clemson. Nate Wiggins is an interesting player. He's really fast, very fast player. Kind of light though, in not a very good run defender at corner, but offers you a ton of upside in the pass game, obviously. Really good cover corner. Has CB1 potential, but I think he needs to add a little bit of weight, and I think he needs to improve his tackling for sure. Number 24, the Cowboys. I have been going Jackson Powers Johnson, center out of Oregon. They just need offensive line help, whether it's tackle, whether it's center. They need help there, so they get arguably the best center in the draft. Packers at 25. I have them going Cooper DeJean, corner out of Iowa. I think it's a really good fit. I don't know if I had this last week. I did. But I think it's just a really good fit. I think last year you drafted Lucas Van Ness, who also went to Iowa. And I just like the, again, I like the fit at the pack in the Packers defense. You know, he offers you a lot of versatility. He could play safety, he could play nickel corner, he could play outside corner. I think in that scheme, I think he'd be more of a safety slash nickel corner. But I really like Cooper Jean. I think he's a really good player. I think he's going to be a really good player in the NFL. And I think that could be a steal for the Packers at 25.
Well, see, yeah, and like I keep talking myself into Cooper DeJean.
Yeah.
For the Eagles because of how versatile he is. And with the injury history that we have that we've seen year after year after year, he can fill a hole as well as play on the outside, play safety. Like, I don't know. I just feel like the kid's got like the talent overall.
Oh, he's got talent for sure. And again, I hate when people say like, and we're gonna get to another, you know, player like this in a minute, but the fact that he's white, like you don't see white corners anymore. But he's that type of athlete that he can play corner, especially outside corner. Like he can do it. I think he's best.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with his freaking talent?
That's what I'm saying. Like
his talent, he has the ability.
He has the ability for sure. And again, he broke his, I think it was like tibia or fibula, one of those two, at the combine, or he wasn't ready for the combine, but came back at Iowa's pro day. Everything was fine, and I think he had a really good showing at the pro day. So, and he could go a lot higher than this as well. He could be a player that goes a lot higher as well. So, yeah, just a really good – just a football player, you know, just a really good player. Again, very versatile as well. And I think if the Packers do get him at 25, I think it could be really, really good pick for them. Number 26, the Buccaneers. I've been going Shop Robinson, edge out of Penn State. You know, they need edge help. They need pass rush. You know, again, Chop Robinson's a bit raw, but, you know, you're drafting him as the athlete right now because he's a freak. But if you can develop him, you know, kind of fine-tune him a little bit, I think you can get a really good player. And they need the help at the edge. So Cardinals, again, their third pick in the first round. I've been going Adonai Mitchell, receiver out of Texas. I think if the Cardinals stuck at four, they obviously would take Marvin Harrison Jr. They don't in this scenario, so they get Adonai Mitchell, who, in my opinion, has wide receiver one potential for them. I think he would immediately come in and be your wide receiver one. So, again, another freak athlete. I mean, he's like 6'2", ran like a 4.3 at the combine. Just insane stuff. So I think immediately comes in to be your wide receiver one and to help out Kyler Murray, and I think he, you know, he's a really good player, so... That's a good pick for them. Again, their third pick of the first round. Bills at 28. I've been going Keon Coleman, receiver out of Florida State. I think they'd be a little upset that the Cardinals took Adonai Mitchell right before them. But in this scenario, I think they need a receiver really badly. They needed a receiver even if they didn't trade Stephon Diggs. But now that they did, they really need one. So, and again, Keon Coleman, same thing with Adonai Mitchell, has wide receiver one potential has a potential to be a wide receiver one in the league is what I mean. And again, probably comes in and is your wide receiver one. So, you know, really, really big dude. Didn't have the greatest combine, but you know, you look at the tape and he's a really good player. So number 29, the Lions, I have to go in Kool-Aid McKinstry, corner out of Alabama. This was the pick last week. I think all the rest of the picks are the same as last week. So I'll just go over them quickly. They need cornerback help. They need more help in the back end. And McKinstry is the best one there, in my opinion. Ravens, I've been going Tyler Guyton, tackle out of Oklahoma. You still have Ronnie Stanley, but he gets hurt every year. You lose Morgan Moses. Tyler Guyton, in my opinion, comes in right away and is your right tackle. Number 31, the 49ers, I've been going Graham Barton, offensive lineman out of Duke. In my opinion, he could go a lot higher than this as well. Very versatile. Kind of same thing with Cooper Jean. Kind of plays, could play anywhere on the offensive line. Profiles as more of a guard or a center in the NFL. But he did play tackle at Duke. 49ers just need help on the offensive line across it. So I think this is a good pick for them. And then last but not least, to wrap it up, again, same as last week, I have them going Ladd McConkey, the Chiefs, out of Georgia, the wide receiver. Again, same kind of thing here. White receiver. You don't see a lot of white receivers, but he is a really, really, really good athlete. He's very fast. He ran like a 4.4 flat 40, which is, you know, really, really good. Phenomenal route runner, has great hands, and I think comes in to the Chiefs offense and you know, is there arguable wide receiver one with the whole Rashee Rice situation going on. So yeah. I know you bring in Hollywood Brown, but in my opinion, he's not really a wide receiver one.
He brings more of the dropping situations that you had a problem with the year before.
Right, exactly. So Ladd McConkey does not have that issue. He has great hands.
Hollywood Brown's either going to go for like 200 yards and 3 touchdowns, or he's going to drop 6 touchdown passes consecutively and blow the game for you.
Right, right. So I don't know. The Chiefs just have a type, I guess. They just don't like guys who catch the ball. But Ladd McConkey is not that type of player. He catches the ball. He's a great pass catcher. So that'll do it. That'll do it for my final mock. Again, kind of speed it through, but a lot of picks are the same. So
it's the draft.
But the draft, we're here, man. We're basically here. It's Thursday as we record this Thursday night.
April.
I am pumped.
The 25th. The draft.
In Boeing Detroit. Goodell. In Detroit, Michigan.
In Detroit.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
Yeah.
Oh. Can't wait.
All right, let's get on to sad stuff. Sixers.
Boo.
Yeah, they're not playing too hot, man. I don't know what I'm watching half the time. It's kind of
it's very infuriating.
Yeah, I mean, I know after the game yesterday, Embiid was like, "Don't worry, we got this." It's like, do you though? I think that they're kind of underestimating the Knicks to begin with. They're not a bad team. Like, I don't know why they're acting like that.
Well, I think you've been underestimating them the first two games.
Like, and they're going to continue that?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, they do that all the time, though. Like,
they'll play down the teams that they're like, yeah, we can beat them.
Oh, yeah. They do that all the time. It's infuriating.
Yeah, but, like, the Knicks have done nothing to prove that they're a team to even be looked down on. That's the thing. They're always scrappy.
Well, that's what Tom Thibodeau does. Like, that's the type of coach that he is. You know, he loves defense. You know, he loves scrappy guys.
He plays you for a million minutes and doesn't care if your career ends early because of it.
Right. He'll play you into the ground. But I mean, listen, the Sixers should not be down 2-0, first of all.
No, they blew the last game on their own.
Yeah. Honestly, they should be up 2-0.
They really should be, and they did it to themselves. And, you know, maybe if you're confident and saying we got this, okay, I believe you. But, like, we have witnessed, and hear me out here, Chris, when was the Kawhi shot? When? How many years ago? 2019, right?
2019, so what?
Yeah, it was 5 years ago. I want to slap you with that one first off. It was 5 years ago. Year after year after year after year, this team has either had some dumb reason, an excuse, or some BS that has prevented them from even advancing into the Eastern Conference Final. What's it going to be this year if you get eliminated in round one?
Right.
And this is what I was getting into by saying I want to mention it later. Am I just jaded now? Because I do not care. I have not. We used to watch the Sixers all the time. And I just have. I guess I've just been hurt so many times that I just. Like, I care, but it's like, does it hurt anymore? No.
It doesn't hurt as bad. I think, like, especially last night.
Yeah, I was kind of like, coming.
I was, like, upset last night. Like, that's probably the most upset I've been in a while. Because how it happened. Like, first of all, they had that game.
Yeah.
Second, they're in that situation because they played like crap. And three, the refs are the icing on the cake.
Yep.
Like, it's just, you know.
Yeah, but, like, I fully expected this at this point. Like, this is what I mean. It's year after year after year. I know we make fun of Dallas in football for doing that. Every year they find a way to one-up themselves. But how do the Sixers find a way to do it every single year?
Yeah.
It really is embarrassing.
Are the Sixers the Cowboys of the NBA?
No, everyone does hate them.
Right? Everyone hates Embiid. We lose every year, and so, something new happens every year in the playoffs, and we lose. Now, we're not, we don't call ourselves America's team, but it's pretty close. I hate that I'm saying this, by the way. But I think we are.
Yeah, no, my point was, like, don't get me wrong, like, yeah, I still get upset when they lose, but, like, how quickly I was able to just be like, yeah, yeah, at the end of it, would have never happened 2 years ago.
Oh, I would be, I'd be, like, especially, like, game one, I wasn't that upset.
Well, game one's game one. You could live with that. And last night was annoying.
Well, last night was extremely annoying. Like, dude, again, just every, how it happened, man. They just find new ways to lose.
It's magic.
And like, and of course, the refs don't let Nick Nurse call a timeout twice, by the way.
Twice, yeah, twice.
And they don't call a foul twice on Tyrese Maxey. Like, yeah, what are you supposed to do?
Did Tyrese Maxey curse out one of the refs' wives or something? Because, like, he doesn't get calls ever. Not even in the regular season, he doesn't
Tyrese
get calls.
Tyrese Maxey might be the nicest person I've ever seen. There's no way.
I doubt he would have done something like that. He probably pet their dog, and the guy got upset because the dog likes Tyrese more than he likes the ref.
Yeah, as he should.
And honestly,
whatever. See, I like Tyrese Maxey more than myself.
Okay.
All right, that may have been a little bit too far, but
listen, I've been a Tyrese Maxey day oneer, and I don't understand why he doesn't get calls.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, he won the most improved player today, so maybe he'll start getting calls now. I don't know.
Maybe?
I don't know. I don't know how it works. I don't know how these idiots of the refs' minds work.
Look, I'll tell you how they work. There's a little hamster in there spinning a wheel, and sometimes it gets tired. I learned that from cartoons from when I was a kid.
or milk's getting spilled over.
Yeah.
If you get that reference, you're dope. Anyway, I was gonna say, if I went up to Adam Silver and he was like, "Hey, between you and me, the NBA's rigged," I would not bat an eye.
I mean, also, like, this is just another thing. The NBA has kind of become not as watchable as it was a few years back.
Yeah. I was telling you this before we started recording. I'm, like, really, like, I mean, I think I've already started to do this, but I'm not watching basketball anymore. I can't.
It's all the same three-point shot.
Yeah. It's the same stuff. Every team does the same things. There's fouls on every single play. The refs get paid to, you know, swing game. I mean, it's brutal. Yeah, I can't watch it. I'm sorry. I will always be a Sixers fan. I will always root for them. But it's getting really, really difficult to watch an NBA game. It is. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And again, the fans, like, some of the fans are so unbelievably toxic. It's like we're playing a game of Overwatch in 2017. Like, it's brutal. Like, I was looking at some comments last night on, like, Bleacher Report and ESPN and all that, and whatever other sports apps there are. And, dude, people are just, like, Knicks fans are just, like, they're just coming at our throats.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you won. Congrats. But also, they're calling us, like, babies for filing a grievance. We didn't file the grievance. The Sixers did. Now, I agree with it, but, you know, that's a different story for another day. But, like, okay. And I don't even know if we talked a lot of crap going into this series. I don't know. Like, we may have, but I didn't. Like, yeah, I thought we were going to lose from the beginning.
Yeah, honestly, me and you have been saying they're going to get eliminated in the first round for months. Right. So yeah.
We kind of said that as a joke because we made the pact that if they got eliminated in the second round, we would stop. And then we kind of were like, oh, they're going to get eliminated in the first round. We're going to have to keep going. They will. They're going to lose.
Yeah.
And I saw a stat. The Sixers are 0-19 all time when they're down 2-0 in the series.
Yeah, I mean,
they're going to lose.
It's over.
Yeah.
The other thing that's been bothering me, and I talked to you about this before we started recording, it's like Philly sports media and every Temple fan crawled out from under the rug, and it's like, Villanova tweeted out that their players are doing good and they're in the Philly area and they're rooting for New York. It's like, no, they're posting their players who graduated from there and went there. What are they supposed to do? Not use that? Are you high?
Well,
I don't care. It's a bad look to tweet that out right afterwards, John Kincaid. Dude, that's their school. They were Villanova Wildcats. What did you expect them to do? Not support their alum? That might be the most asinine take I've ever heard. Don't get me wrong. I'm rooting for the Sixers. I am a Sixers fan.
If you guys didn't know, Ryan went to Villanova.
Yeah. Like, I'm a Sixers fan. Screw the Knicks.
Yeah.
But, like, what do you want the school to do? Their players signed there. It is what it is, you know?
Yeah, I didn't really care that
Villanova. Oh, and also on top of it, the Sixers passed on every single Nova player that worked out. Every single one of them. They had an opportunity to get every single one of them.
Yeah, Jalen Brunson in the second round.
They also had Mikal Bridges and traded him for Zaire Smith, who played approximately, 5 minutes?
All right, we already talked about that, 7 years ago when it happened. I don't feel like talking about it again.
So, and when the Temple fans do it, it's pure jealousy. That's the reason why Temple fans are coming out of the rug.
Well, name one player that's in the NBA that went to Temple.
I can't.
Exactly.
That's part of what I'm getting at.
Right. And so there's nothing to complain about. There's no players in the NBA they can complain about.
Yeah, people just like to hate on Villanova, and you know what? Fine, whatever.
Yeah,
I don't care.
You should be used to that. Everyone hates the Sixers. Everyone hates the Eagles. Everyone hates the Phillies.
Yeah, but like everyone hates every Philly team.
And even the Philly, damn commissioner hates the Sixers.
Philly hates Villanova because it's right outside. And it's like they play a good amount of their home games in the Wells Fargo Center.
Well, also a good amount of them. A lot of people went to Temple that live around here. So, of course, they're going to hate Villanova, but,
Yeah.
But, a lot of those people might have celebrated when Villanova won the national championship.
Yeah. It is what it is. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, oh, they're in Philly. They're not.
No, they're not, but they're close enough.
Yeah. They're a local team. I get it. And you're pissed off at the school for tweeting out that their alumni hit a big shot.
That's like some New Jersey. Like people who live in New Jersey being Eagles fans. And there's a lot of those. There's a lot of New Jersey people who love the Eagles.
Right.
They're like, oh, you should be a Giants fan or a Jets fan. No, why? Like who you like.
Closer to Philly. It is what it is. You know, it's dumb. And the other argument I saw was, oh, well, they have more New York and Connecticut people. Like, it was a fair mix of people there. Their acceptance rate is under 20%. Like, the people who are going there, it's a good educational institution, too. Like, not trying to crap on Temple, but it's like, a rock could probably get in.
Yeah. So he's also flexing because once again he went to Villanova.
I am flexing a little bit, and I'm also a little bitter because I hate just going online and seeing people that are rooting for my basketball team just crapping on my university. It's like, dude, first off, shut up. You're a loser.
Yeah. And first of all, here's another thing. Why do you care that much?
They're just looking for, something to complain about.
Right.
And, you know,
Do people just go online just to complain? Like, I don't get it.
No, they do. That's literally what they do. Sports talk hosts, this is why I don't listen to sports talk radio as much anymore.
It's so bad.
Because I turn it on and it's toxic, one.
It's so bad.
Two, then you get these takes where it's like, oh, you're going to get all these clicks because people are going to start arguing with each other. Instead of focusing on the fact that, oh, maybe the Sixers just aren't playing up to par, let's crap on Villanova.
Right. That'll let's get not talk going. About how the Sixers suck and crap on Villanova.
Yeah. Let's not talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about something else to deflect from the actual subject at hand, to bring all of our anger that we lost two games in a row on the university that produces NBA talent. Let's do that.
And, like, going off that same vein, the draft is coming up again. Like, this, obviously, the draft's on Thursday. But I haven't watched the sports radio, but I guarantee you they're probably talking more about how the NFL is investigating the Eagles for tampering, which they probably didn't do, by the way, instead of who they're actually going to take on Thursday.
Yeah.
That's what they're probably doing. Like, oh, my God, the NFL is investigating the Eagles. How many picks are they going to take away? Like, shut up.
It doesn't focus on the task at hand, you know?
Right. The draft is Thursday. Just discuss who we're going to take. What do we need? You know, like, talk about something interesting.
I am tired of the toxicity.
It's all negativity and toxicity. It's brutal.
And it really is just getting to a point where, like, why do I listen to sports talk radio? I haven't had a reason in at least 4 years.
Yeah.
The last time I was excited to listen to sports talk radio was when Anthony Gargano had his morning show and they did Meat Locker Thursdays. I loved Meat Locker Thursdays in the morning. I would get up early, sit in the parking lot at work, and listen to him, Baldy, Vysek, Ahema, just have a ball talking football, anything.
Yeah. It's crazy, like, also, too, like, it's crazy how fast Philly sports radio has gone downhill.
Oh, it's horrible.
Like, it's brutal.
And then, like, yeah. And then you get other media personalities, like Howard Eskin, like, one of the most famous ones in the world, right? He'll say something that is so asinine and then 10 years later be like, I never said that. It's like, yeah, right. You did. It's right here.
It's why, dude, I'm not. If you're a Howard Eskin fan, I don't get it.
If you're an Eskin fan at all.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. Yeah. Any Eskin, really.
Giglio's just as bad.
Yep. Elliot Shore Parks.
Shore Parks is just that dude just spits out hot takes to get clicks, I think. Like, that's the only thing I can imagine. Like, I think he's a bad person? No, but, like, I have to mute him on social media because it's like, I will get angry.
Yeah. I mean, some of his takes aren't, like, I blocked him on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. But I still see some of his, like, I have Bleacher Report too, and he shows up on there for some reason. So I still see some of his, like, tweets. And some of them aren't horrible, but a lot of them are just like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of it evolves from when Cataldi started developing the toxic culture. People worshipped him.
Yeah.
And when I, like, really started listening to sports talk more was when I was commuting to work. I couldn't listen. It was unbearable. I never understood what the draw was. I mean, I guess it's just because it's the Eagle Station. That's it.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know.
It's bad. It's really bad. I mean, that's, you know.
Sixers just need to play better.
Yeah.
Let's get back down to it.
I mean, we just turned into their sports radio. We just talked about how toxic everyone is, and we should be talking about how the Sixers suck.
Oh, wow, we're hypocrites, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're ending it all.
Well, we're two idiots with a podcast, not people being
paid
hundreds of thousands of dollars to talk sports when you're just absolutely horrible at it.
Yeah.
So that's that. But the Sixers need to play better. I mean,
they should be up 2-0. They're getting outplayed by a mile.
They're getting out hustled too, and you know. I hate to bring up Villanova, but, like, you got a lot of Villanova basketball players. That's legitimately what Villanova basketball is.
And again, that's how Thibodeau runs his team. He gets the scrappy guys. He makes them play hard. You have to out muscle them, and you can. Like, you have the ability to. You're just not. Like, Embiid should be getting every rebound, and he's just not. Game one, the Knicks had 23 offensive rebounds. We had 33 rebounds total. I mean, that cannot happen. That can't. And you were in the game still.
I know.
That shows me if you if you just match their energy and intensity, you're blowing them out. But they're not doing it. So that just shows me that they don't want it.
And to wrap it up, let's walk it off. I'm tired of this talk. Sorry, I was very angry about that. Like, I hate that. I hate that. And then I see people accusing me of, like, oh, you're rooting for the Knicks. It's like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Right. No. I don't care.
You couldn't pay me enough money to do that.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I like Villanova, but I'm not. Yeah. I mean, I like Jalen Brunson. I like
Deebon. This isn't Villanova, Michigan. This isn't Villanova, UNC.
And I will say, too, I like Josh Hart as a player, but he is playing like friggin' Michael Jordan out there.
I know.
Like, what the hell?
He was even hitting threes nonstop.
I mean, yeah, he's wide open. I mean, they're not, you know, I mean, he's a good player, but he's not, you know, he's not 25 a night. I mean, like, come on, man.
Yeah. Yep.
And the thing is, too, like, they're shutting down Jalen Brunson. And they're still losing. Brunson's their best player.
Yeah, but you got to think. Guys like Dante DiVincenzo and Josh Hart can hit a three.
Right.
You leave them open, they're going to hit it.
You're leaving them on an island. There's no one within 20 feet of them. You can't do that.
I think they went in with the wrong strategy, and I sure hope that they adjust.
Oh, well, yeah, they have to. I mean, I think the series is over regardless, but... I don't know. It's a shame, man. It's a shame. I mean, again, this is the same story every year. They should be winning these series, and they're just not.
Yep. You got that right.
Yeah. I mean, they should have won the Toronto series in 19. You know? I mean, 2020, they were terrible.
The Hawks series, they should have won.
I mean, you know.
They should have beat the Celtics.
Oh, yeah. Oh, last year, for sure. They should have beat the Celtics. Yeah. No doubt in my mind.
They had that in the palm of their hands. It's just, here you go.
I think they were up 3-2 in that series.
Now, here's another reference for
you. And they were also up 3-2 in the Hawks series, I believe.
Here's your other reference. Now, let them have it. You can have it.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah. It's bad, man. It's really bad. It's a shame, too, because, you know, I mean, Embiid is, you know, it's partly on Embiid too, but you know, you're wasting this guy's career. And he can't help the injuries. Like it's just we're just unlucky, man.
I know.
So I don't know. I mean, you know. We have Tyrese Maxey, that's our one shining light at this point, but I don't know where we go.
Walk it off. Phillies.
Phillies. They're terrible.
Yeah. I'm not joking around right now. I'm still angry from that. That actually has me very upset.
Yeah.
Starting pitching's been phenomenal.
The Phillies are playing really well, man. Really well.
Bryce Harper had a kid.
He did. Shout out Bryce and his wife, his family. That's he's on the paternity list.
This is just an interesting thing. Bryce Harper and Manny Machado went on the paternity
list. I saw that, yeah.
And their stats are nearly identical.
I saw that, career. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
It's actually terrifying.
And they were both free agents the same year. They both got huge deals that one year. Yeah, that's pretty funny. But, yeah, Phillies are playing really well. I mean, dude, the pitching has been unbelievable. I mean, the starting pitching has been unreal.
Ranger has been lights out.
Ranger. I mean, dude, Cy Young right now, dude. I'm not joking. Like, he's been unbelievable.
If he keeps up this level, yes.
Oh, yeah, easily. But, I mean, dude, yeah, Turnbull's been phenomenal. Wheeler finally got some run support the other night. Nola's been really good. You know, Sanchez has been decent, but I think got roughed up tonight as we record this. But But yeah, starting pitching has been phenomenal. Bullpen needs to get it together. They have recently, but I think their ERA is still a bit high, so they definitely need to get that down. Yeah, man, starting pitching has been unbelievable. And the lineup's finally come around. You know, they're scoring runs. Johan Rojas has been really good recently. He's got that average up a lot. Castellanos, still not great, but he's definitely been a little bit better. Stott's been not great. But other than that, I think everyone for the most part has been pretty good. I think Harper wasn't doing great after the big 3-home run game. But I think he had a pretty good game. But then other than that, I think everyone has been really solid. Schwarber is Schwarber. We know it. But Trey Turner's been unbelievable. I think he won Player of the Week in the National League. So he's been really, really good, thankfully. that's been nice to see. And then my boy Brandon Marsh has been really good as well. So, and Alec Boehm has been good as well. I think he leads the team in RBIs. So they're starting to figure it out, and I love it. Hopefully starting pitching can keep this up. It's going to be hard, but hopefully they can keep it up.
I don't have anything else to add.
Yeah, I'm sad.
Yep. Well, we've reached our destination for the day. We'd like to thank you for listening to the Philly Bandwagon Podcast. Go to phlsportsnation.com for all your Philly sports wants, needs, and desires. Go to the podcast app. Go to the PHL Bandwagon. You can find us on Spotify there. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, wherever podcasts are available. We're most likely there. If not, shoot us an email at phlthebandwagon@gmail.com and let us know what platform you'd like us to be added to. We also take mailbox questions there. Again, it's at phlthebandwagon@gmail.com. Our DMs are open on X at the PHL Bandwagon. You can follow me at PHL Ryan Michaels. You can follow Chip at PHL Chip Tiernan. We also share our episodes and a weekly poll there. We share our episodes on Facebook, but we don't share our poll there because their system is hot garbage. So moving on from there, go to the Weg Shop, get your TBW merch, hoodies, hats, T-shirts. Summer's coming up. Get your T-shirt, get a hat, you know, look good for the beach. And if you see two burly gentlemen come up to you that are bearded and want to talk to you about your T-shirt, it's most likely us, so don't be frightened. And moving on from there, again, we've reached our destination. We'll see you at the next stop. Go Birds.
Go Birds! Enjoy the draft!